Good evening, Skip Peter, God's House, and I'm glad to have y'all here. Haven't seen you in a long, long time, all the way since last year. And it is good to be here in the House of God this Wednesday, January 1st, 2014. What a way to start the year off. And on the 26th, one of the highlights of our year, what a way to start off the year. Is a special offering that we pray about and been praying about and been talking about that we might be able to purchase paper for the Lock Haven Scripture Press. So if you have not already been seeking God's face, go ahead and start now. And I talk with God now, Lord, what would you have me to do? What kind of offering could I give to help purchase paper to print Scripture on, that it may be distributed and put into the hands of people who may read it and get saved, may take it and be discipled by it. The Word of God should not come back void. So I heard a saying some time ago, and I used it Sunday morning in Sunday school, is you cannot go broke taking a profit. I don't know if you ever heard that before. Cannot go broke taking a profit. I guarantee you this, you cannot go broke giving to God's work. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So that's something you need to put prayer to. Prayer, not pressure. There's a big difference. You can have pressure put upon you and you give out of emotional pressure and it means absolutely nothing. When you do it with prayer, soak it in prayer. I guarantee you God will bless you beyond measure for that offering of sacrifice. And some of you are probably thinking, what in the world is a can of chili doing up here? Just let the economy's getting very bad because that's the kind of trophies they're giving out at camp now. No, they have a special set of games where they divided all the churches up into three different groups. And they hid one day balls of all different shapes, sizes, and colors. And the church that found all eight balls during the day, this was the trophy they would get. So our young girls, the younger of the group that went with us, we had 20 campers go, and they searched high and low. You'd thought they were on the Navy SEALs team. They wanted to get that can of chili for our church. And they won it. I mean, they got after it and found those balls. But not only did they get the chili, it gave us 1,000 points toward our team. And our team that we were a member of, the Blue Dodgeballs, we actually won the week event. So they helped. They earned 1,000 points toward that. So that was a blessing. But then we had four different trophies that we were able to bring home. The boys were able to bring home the football trophy. They were the champions there in the football. And we had three different individual events that was won. And one was Carrie Nelson. She did the soccer shootout. And she was able to stand still. Brother Mark. She didn't have to run. They was amazed that somebody on crutches could win. And then Sarah Nelson won the cross country event, and then Roman's Tunes, and they his trophy got broke up there. They're going to mail us another one. He won the punt pass kick event. They did very well for themselves this retreat, and I think they all will stand up. If you want to camp right here, y'all stand up for them. And I think we need to show a token of gratitude, and I want you to applaud our church for you that stand and applaud our church for giving. Thank you, church, because without your giving, we couldn't have a bus to go, we couldn't pay insurance, we couldn't buy gas, and they are very grateful for your giving so that they could take part in this. Thank you. You can be seated. Some or not here, that went with us. We got back at 5 o'clock this evening, and we have been running ever since, getting things in order for church tonight. And so we're glad that you're here. And the kids told me, the youth told me that if I was to go alone, they were going to ask the parents for their keys, and they were going to wait at home for you parents because they are tired. We had a packed 3-day event, and last night we had a watch night service that went well past midnight, and it was a wonderful time. We had a good time, but they said, "Preacher, is it possible that you could be kind tonight?" And I always try to be. I understand that I told them, I said, I might fall asleep up here myself. The thing was, they gave us the watch night service last night, and I thought, well, surely they were going to move back the wake-up out. They did not. And I asked them why. They said, because we want to get this over with and get y'all out of here. So that is why they didn't do that. Genesis chapter 1 this evening. I know we normally go over, or we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we go verse by verse and been doing that for some time through the book of 1 Corinthians. But this being the first day of the year and a new year, I wanted to do a little something different, just to talk with you a little bit. I promise you we will not tarry long here at the well, but we're going to look at a few items and see. Being a new year, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Genesis chapter number 1, we have the record, God's word, recorded for us about creation. And every bit of this is true. It's 6 days it talks about in these chapters. If it was 1,000 years between the days, I believe God would put books. But it was days, because you can look at verse 5 and it says there, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the what? First day. So they're days. Literal days. 24-hour days. That's why he said in the evening and morning. He didn't want us to be mistaken about it. He wanted us to understand that this was literal. And then in verse 8, you have day 2. Verse 13, it finishes day 3. Verse 19 finishes day 4. Verse 23 finishes day 5. Verse 31 finishes day 6. And then you go into chapter number 2, and you have there verse 1, 2, and 3 that finishes up day 7. So the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning of our book that we call our sole authority, the Bible, this is in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. And then he lists everything that he created on each day. Now, we're not going into creation. It's not a message on creation, but it's a message on a thought that I've had as I drove down today. I was actually going to go ahead and do the 1 Corinthians study that we've been doing. But as I drove, thinking on a new day, and I think what probably started me out thinking on it was early this morning at 5:30. I got up and I was doing my Bible reading up there at the camp. And I started a new day. It was a new year. I finished up and now I've started the new year. I've started in chapter 1. Back over again. And so, well, preacher, how many times are you going to do this? Well, until the Lord comes back, I'm going to try and do it and do it and do it and do it. You can't get enough of it. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this, that reading it again this morning, afresh and anew, though I was tired from the watch night service, and then I went over and got my thermos filled up after chapel, after the evening service, and drunk the whole thermos of coffee just to try to make it. Well, you know what happens there. Forget sleeping, you're waterlogged. So you're up, down, you know, back and forth and so forth. But when the alarm went off, I got up, got my shower, and went over to the dining hall, and I began to read. And today, being the first day, started anew. And on saying that, there is a Bible reading schedule over there. If you don't have one, it's a good one. Take it and follow along. You say, "Preacher, it's just so difficult doing it." I understand it is difficult. It's difficult because the flesh don't want to do it. The flesh don't want to do anything spiritual. This flesh and the spirit warth against each other. They battle. And, you know, the flesh would desire to sleep on in and, get a little more rest, so forth and so on. But we need the Word of God. We need God's mind on things. Because I'm telling you, the way the world's going today, it's going haywire. Family's going haywire. Church is going haywire. Pastor's going haywire. I mean, there's all kind of things out there that is labeled helps to men of God that have absolutely no Bible foundation to it. I'm like, well, how does that help me? That'd be like a brain surgeon reading a book on a skill saw. Well, this is going to help you do surgery, sir. Yeah. Boy, that cuts really good through the skull. What about the anesthesia and all that stuff? What about the brain and the things that you're going to hit when you go in there with a skill saw? So we need it. We need the Word of God. In the beginning, it's a new year. Finished out 2013, 17 hours ago. How many hours ago we finished out? 15 hours ago, maybe? Something like that, really close, and it's gone. Matter of fact, we can't get high noon back. High noon of January 1st is gone. David went up to the camp with us, and he was keeping track of when it was time to go, and this morning at breakfast, one of the other teens asked, "Preacher, what time are we leaving?" And David said, "High noon." We're leaving high noon. I thought he's been watching westerns or something there, but high noon. We was getting up out of there. And it's gone. High noon's gone. 3 o'clock's gone. Whatever you had already planned to do at 4 o'clock today, can't get it back. It's gone. All that stuff we had planned to do in 2013, guess what? 2013's gone. The stuff we can still do, though, because you know what sometimes we do? We make an excuse, well, the year's gone, I can't do it. No. The year's gone, but that task can still be picked up. Preacher, I can't do it. You're right. I can't do it, you can't do it. The greatest heat that's in me is the heat of this world. Everything is possible with God. Why did you go back to Genesis this morning, this afternoon, to look at this, Pastor, and talk about new beginnings? Because this is history. This has already taken place. Yes, it is. And because it is history, we can learn from it. It's accurate history, by the way. It's not rewritten. Not rewritten by somebody that wants to do away with facts. This is actual. It happened. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. Darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new. Creation. What happened here? God created in the beginning. When we got born again, God created again in our life. I'm going to tell you, church, we need to get back to the point where we let God create. Lest the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. We need to get back to the point and realize that if God can say, let there be light, and there was light, God can fix relationships. God can mend hearts between mamas and daddies and kids. I'm going to tell you, God, listen, husbands, we need to get back to the point where God can create a light in us for our spouse once again. It's not just the old handmaid. Preacher, I just can't. If we have a God that can do this in Genesis chapter 1, there is absolutely nothing in our life, Brother Lee, that God cannot do again. In the beginning, God created. You know what God desires to do in our life as we, after we become His child? First, if you're lost, He wants to create a new life and He wants to save you. He wants to make you His child. The grace of God has appeared to all men. He's not, listen, God's not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. So if you're lost, this is your first day of 2014. First thing God wants to do is to give you life abundant through Christ Jesus our Lord, a free gift from God. That's what He wants to do. But after we're saved, you know what God desires for us? The Bible teaches us, Sister Debbie, that God desires for us to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son. Well, how is He going to do that? Because we walk around in a body of flesh that is that's fallen. When I got saved, my flesh didn't get saved. I was quickened and made alive, born again. My spirit was quickened. My soul was saved. This old flesh, it's going to die one day. It's going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. I'm only going to be a new body. One that's not going to fight the spirit. One that's not going to fight the will of God. One that's not going to try to lead me and guide me into the pleasures of life that are contrary to what God would have me to have. But until that day happens, dear friend, we live in this temple. You know what the Bible teaches us? His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. So think back in your life. Just in 2013, because listen, we can wonder all we want about 2010, 2007, 1999, and 1969, 1958. Brother Fred was telling me today about some freeze that took place in 1958 here in Orlando. Some snow, he said snow fell. Nice to know. Glad it ain't falling today. But that's a long ways. 1958? My soul. I don't even know what my daddy was doing in 1958 because I wasn't around. But I'm telling you what, I can remember some stuff that I should have done in 2013. That I talked to my God about. I said, God, I need to do this. I need to be a little bit more faithful in this and a little bit more faith. I need to read and pray. And God, man, I got an anger bone in me, God, and I need to work on that thing. And I talked to God about so many things and throughout the year that here I am, 2014, and I can look back and I can evaluate and I can say that there's some things left undone. Some things left undone. So what we're going to do? In the beginning of 2014, we need to allow God to have rule in our life. He wants and desires our best. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, listen. Day two, God said, let there be a firmament amidst the waters and let divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God just kept on it. Day one, he got busy and called out light. Day two, he called out firmament. Day three, guess what? God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Can you imagine something like that happen? God says, well, hey, water, get over here. Hey, water, get over yonder. And up pop North America, South America, Asia. That's what the Bible said. Not a preacher, it says land appeared. The continents took shape. See, it's bigger than just land appearing. That's the God we serve, church. That's the God we serve. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together, the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. The Mediterranean Sea just popped together like a little pool. That's our God. And let me tell you, church, your relationship can be made right if you let the God of the Bible do some creating in your heart. Psalms 51:10, we sing it Sunday morning. How's it go, Brother Jim? Create in me. Me. You know my problem? I look around and I see everybody else got something wrong with them. I say, oh God, create them and help them. We need to get down to business. God said, God, create in me. Not the spouse, not my children. God, create in me. Lord, he can't do it. My heart's wicked above all. You're exactly right. It is, but he can. If he can call out the Fiji Island out there in the middle of nowhere, he can get down into that corner of your heart, Desiree, and pluck out whatever we're hiding from him and replace it with something worthy of his work. Worthy of his work. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, yielding seed, fruit, tree, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You know what happened? Day two, firmament. Day three, God began to gather the waters, pop up land here, pop up land there. He looked out, saw that land barren. He said, that needs some grass, needs some tulips, needs some grapefruits, needs some vines, it needs some coloring. Oh, how he painted. Oh, how he just placed beauty. Have you ever traveled and saw the beauty of the world? Have you ever looked at a book where people are just taking pictures after pictures? Amazing. The other day I saw something that just amazed me. There was a man and he walks through snow for exercise, but he, in his walks he creates snowflakes. Huge snowflakes. 3 acre snowflakes. When you're looking up close, you can't see. He's just walking back and forth. But whenever the helicopter got up there and zoomed in on what he was doing, it was so intricate. It was amazing that a man that could do that. A sinful man. Oh, I have not seen or ear heard what God has and is doing. Church, when we go back to the beginning, The reason God put the creation in the beginning of his book, because you know, Genesis is not the oldest book of the Bible. It's not. According to historians, Job is. But why would God rearrange it? Was his word? He can tell his story like he wants to. You know as well as I do. Sometimes we get to telling our vacation stories and we get to the part we like the best. And our wife says, that ain't how it happened. Well, it is how it happened when I saw it. Maybe it didn't happen that way when you saw it. When I saw it, that's how it happened. And we tell it like we saw it. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, when God tells his story, he places it like he wants it to be. And I believe with all my heart he put the creation in the beginning so that we could go back there to the beginning and get some faith and fundamental soundness to us, to the doctrine that when we get to the book, and you know, we like this, we like running to the end and seeing what happened at the end and see what's going on at the end. And oh, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hey, you know what helps us to know he's going to come quickly? Because he can gather up land and he can gather up water. How do we know that? Because of Genesis 1. Church, I'm just saying to you, it's gone. 2013 is gone. 2013's out of here. Nothing we can do about it. But we have breath in our life. We have a God that can do all this in Genesis chapter number 1. How much more do you think he can do in our lives? You know, the Bible says we're precious in his sight. Just a little girl sung a song up there. A song, I wish I knew the title of it, but it's talking about how amazed it is that God would want to spend a day with me. Can you think about this here book of Genesis? Where God would leave heaven and come down to commune with Adam and Eve? How amazing that is. You know what's so amazing? Is that the fact he would still come down even on the day that they had fallen. That's God. And when he got down around there calling for them, where you are and all this, he knew where this at, knew what had happened already. He could have packed it up and gone. As just as fast he created, he could have blew out the nostrils of his nose, snorted like a buck, and all of it been gone and started again. And wouldn't have nobody known about it. Why? It's his story. But he let it go so we could see how good he is. I mean, amazing. Old Genesis is relevant today. It's good for today. It's applicable for today. Oh no, preacher, there's gaps in there and there's just absolutely no way that it could have happened like that because science has said so. You get a scientific definition of science from these so-called scientists that are out there. Ask them what science means, and you go back and you compare science, the definition of science, with verse 1, 2, and 3. And that will define exactly what they call science. Look it up on your own. Do some research. Take one of these here evolutionists that teach us that we've fallen out of a tree, jumped up, their tail fell off, and now we're walking around instead of crawling. We say uncle and aunt. No, it didn't happen like that. Ask them, what is science? Give me a definition. Get their definition. Compare it with verse 1, 2, and 3. I guarantee you it will be absolutely no different. You know where it starts beginning to get different? On what and the days and how it happened. Well, billions and billions and billions of years ago, there was nothing. You know the story. Don't even sound logical. It takes a whole lot more faith to believe that garbage than to believe this. Boom! Wow, look out
down there. A Mercedes-Benz was created. Really? Come on. Problem is, we want to become gods to ourselves instead of letting God be God. Let's stand to our feet, children.